Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I do want to talk a little Cavs and see almost what does a series look like, Cleveland versus Indiana. And to help us out with that, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI, and he joins us now. Spencer, how's it going, man?
Good, Jake. How about you?
We are doing very well. Things in the NBA playoffs here are starting to heat up a little bit. Where I'll take you away from the Cavs for just a second, but more so in the realm of the Pacers and Bucks, because we saw that series finish in, dramatic fashion, I think, would be inside the game fits, outside the game fits as well. I'll start things off by asking you, do you think the NBA should be taking disciplinary action against Tyrese Halliburton's dad for the scuffle that goes down on the floor after between him and Giannis?
Yeah, I think so, and you know, Tyrese said that his dad was probably not in the right there, and Giannis gave obviously a very introspective answer into what took place there. And, you know, the emotions of the game always run high, but at the end of the day, even if you are the father of one of the NBA superstars, you are still a fan sitting there, and you can't just do what he did at the end of that game and come onto the court and wave a flag in someone's face. It's just not something that you can be able to do, so yeah, I think they should take some sort of disciplinary action, but I don't think it's to the point where they have to completely, like, ban him or something. But definitely make the point come across. And I think that there's also a lot of regret from what we read from his tweet yesterday, too. So,
yeah, no doubt. It definitely was a fun one to look at. As we look at that series as a whole, Indiana versus Milwaukee, I got the vibes that, obviously, I think Indiana was a better team, especially once Milwaukee was, I mean, they started missing Dame. They obviously ended the series missing Dame after the Achilles tear. Were you convinced, I guess, by the series win over Indiana, or did it look a little bit shaky to you?
I don't want to say shaky because I think that Indiana is actually a really good team. I don't think that they're on the level of a Cleveland, per se, but they are a very well-rounded team, I would say. And I think that the growth of their guys has really come across. You know, it's not just Tyrese Halliburton. I'm looking at a guy like Miles Turner, who's become a defensive menace in the paint and is also someone who's played with a lot of physicality from all the years that he's picked up experience in the playoffs. I think Andrew Nembhard is someone that doesn't get nearly enough love as somebody who can facilitate, who can shoot, pull up mid-rangers, and also knock the shots down from deep and set up teammates. They have a lot of guys who are capable. Pascal Siakam, as we know, is an NBA champion, and that's somebody they just added to the mix last year, and now that he's had a full year with the team and came in training camp and all that, he's also a load to handle. And then, you know, off the bench, they've got a lot of capable guys. Benedict Mathurin, TJ McConnell, when they need to go to him, will be definitely a nuisance that Clevelanders will not like in this series. You know, Obi Toppin even has had moments to shine. So, and then I think Jairus Walker is going to be an X factor. I know that we're probably getting into too much of the series preview here, but they have a very solid team. Aaron Nesmith, a rugged defender. So this is going to be a good challenge for Cleveland. And I think that Indiana is the right winner of that series. And I think that they did so convincingly, regardless of whether Damian Lillard was there or not.
So you obviously break down some of the players that are on that roster. And we've heard it leading up to this series, even when the Cavs were up 3-0 and it felt like the Pacers were destined to win. When we're hearing Cavs-Pacers preview, that the Pacers are going to present a difficult challenge for the Cavs compared to Miami. Now, I think that's a pretty like simple out there statement when your average margin of victory is like 30 points against a team in a series. But beyond the individual players, what makes Indiana so much more difficult of a matchup for Cleveland?
I think stylistically it's a lot different than Miami. It's not just looking at the point differential. I feel like the Pacers, they know how to take care of the basketball. They don't usually beat themselves. And they're not this like up and down, out of control team in transition that they were a few years back. They actually defend now, and I think that they actually have a good solid pace to them to where they can adapt to whether it's an up and down game or if it does slow down into the half court. Now, I feel like when you look at what they bring to the table offensively, they have multiple ball handlers, which is something Cleveland did not see against Miami. So as I mentioned, you have Nembhard, you have a guy like Pascal Siakam you can trust within his hands. You can, you know, give it to TJ McConnell or Benedict Mathurin, and they can create. So it's not like somebody takes the ball out of Halliburton's hands and it's what do we do? They are very capable in what they're able to do outside of Halliburton. Now, I think that they're going to be denying ball and trying to make Andrew Nembhard their number one point guard type, the Cavs, that is. So I'm interested to see how Indiana adapts to that. But the Cavs are going to have to cover those corners. The Pacers, by far, took the most corner threes, had the highest corner three frequency in the first round to this point. So they got to be able to rotate defensively and make sure that they take that away. And then offensively, the Cavs have to continue to do what they do, and that's shoot the threes, because the Pacers do allow a little bit more on the perimeter than a lot of teams do.
Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers, on SI with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Spencer, you alluded to it a little bit, but I think we just watched a series against Miami where a lot of your defensive game plan was set up, all right, let's go and stop Tyler Hero because he's the guy that can go and take over a game. And we've seen them, you know, at times against Boston sort of play the opposite way. Well, Tatum and Brown can kind of have theirs. We got to stop everybody else. Is this an instance of go stop Tyrese Halliburton and make somebody else do it? Or is it really a deep enough roster that you kind of let Halliburton almost have his and say, you can't let anybody else be the guys making shots?
Yeah, I kind of actually lean towards more of the latter, because when Halliburton's playmaking, that means that everyone else is kind of feeling it, and then that gets him going regardless as a scorer. So if you make Tyrese Halliburton score, if you make him the main points guy and try to get the ball out of everybody else's hands, I think that is a better strategy, because I feel like Halliburton lifts his teammates up around him, and he does that by playmaking. And then eventually when teams start reacting to that, then Halliburton starts launching those threes and starts to get into the paint well. And he has a really nice crossover that can beat you off the dribble. You saw that in the final shot against Giannis the other night. And you look at also his ability to kind of keep you on your toes, not only the crossover, but the little quick toe tap and step back threes that he has. So I feel like if the Cavs are like, all right, Tyrese, you can have this shot profile if we don't let the other guys kind of beat us, because they do have capable scorers. Like Pascal Siakam is a great scorer. Miles Turner has a pick and pop game that's really nice. He can shoot the outside shot too and does a good job of that. So they have other capable guys to where, like, I don't think you completely just sell out to try to stop Halliburton, because other guys can definitely hurt you. But if it was up to me and my strategy, I would make Halliburton the guy that say, okay, you can go out and drop 40 as long as nobody else has 20.
Now, Spencer, I've looked at it. I sort of like the game of Tyrese Halliburton. I think that he had a slow start to the season, and then post-All-Star break started to pick things up, and Indiana kind of followed suit along with as he played. But there's this ongoing narrative on social media that he's sort of the most overrated player in basketball. Is that something that you feel like is even relatively close to fair, that he's considered overrated in the accolades that he picks up, or is he closer to, you know, an evenly rated or even underrated type of player?
So I don't really buy into the overrated, underrated stuff. I think mm-hmm. that he's a hell of a basketball player. He's done a lot of impressive things for his where he is in his career. And I think, you know, they're coming off of an East Finals appearance against Boston last year. I know that they got swept, but they were still really competitive in those games. They won the first two rounds, and now they're back to try to get back to that spot and even further. So Tyrese is the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, and he's got an array of different moves, and he's got a lot to like about him on the offensive end. And I think part of it is just kind of the energy he brings with him. And I feel like he's a really capable three-point shooter. Again, going back to the conversation, doesn't turn the ball over too much. I think he can get loose with his handle sometimes, but he does a good job of making sure that he's not making bad decisions. And that's going to be the tough part. See the Cavs try to turn him over because he's going to have the ball in his hands most likely the most until, you know, we see potentially double teams coming over and then switches, you know, with Evan and Jared Allen coming out of him in the perimeter. So I don't buy into the overrated, underrated stuff. I just see him as an all-star caliber guard who is really dangerous when he gets going and has a lot of momentum going with him.
All right, got it. I'll mark you down very quietly over here for an underrated on Tyrese Halliburton. Got it.
Sounds good.
No, but I did want to talk, obviously, we focused a lot on the Pacers, but the Cavs are sort of the premier team, obviously not just in Cleveland, but in this series being the higher seed and coming off their dominant win. What did you make of Kenny Atkinson's coaching in the first round against Miami? Because in my eyes, it almost felt like it was hands down. He outcoached what a lot of people view as one of, if not the best coaches, and Eric Spoelstra on the other side.
Yeah, I think that Kenny just did a really good job of his lineup combinations. I think my favorite one I saw was even in game one, just having Ty Jerome, Darius Garland, and Donovan Mitchell all on the floor at the same time. Him going small in this series was brilliant. I think that really put the Cavs in a good position because they were, you know, moving up and down the floor in transition. They were creating a lot of turnovers, first of all, but a lot of guys stepped up to the defensive challenge. I think Sam Merrill deserves a lot of credit for that, even though he wasn't the most prolific player in this series. I thought he did a really good job. Dean Wade, the last couple in Miami, was stellar defensively. I think that his adjustments and his combinations are really good. And, you know, namely, too, you look at Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter being the two-headed monster coming off the bench and then just kind of filling and picking and choosing around that. You know, Isaac Okoro gets in the game for, you know, 9-10 minutes just to be a specialization stopper and to hit a couple of threes in a game. Like, he's still going deep into his rotation, but he knows what buttons to push. And I think that is really a huge piece of why the Cavs have looked so good in these first four games. You think about it, man, like, they've only had one bad quarter. And it was the fourth in a game where Donovan went nuclear and rescued them. So I think that Kenny knows how to mix the potions in the lab, and he's just the mad scientist.
So I guess do you have a good gauge on it from one playoff series when it comes to coaches in the playoffs right now, where you sort of stick Kenny Atkinson in that mix?
I mean, he's got to be up there just because of the point differential that you saw. And I mean, that's taking into effect, too, that, you know, Miami was not the strongest team in the playoffs, of course. But I would put him up there. I don't really, coach-wise, I'm not really sure how to put him up against, you know, the likes of, like, a Mark Dagnall or of a Chris Finch. You know, like I mean, those are the ones that come to mind for me. But I don't know really how he stacks up. But it's got to be up there.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. Again, Spencer Davies with us here on the hotline. I think almost an underrated story going through this, just because the Cavs' dominance in game 3 and 4 is the absence of Darius Garland and not playing in those last two games. Is there any information right now with Darius? Should the fans be expecting him back come a game 1 on Sunday, or is this something that's going to take a little bit more time maybe?
No, you know, I think it was more precautionary about him not playing in Miami. If this was like the finals or the Eastern Conference finals, I think DG would have gave it a go. But knowing how deep his team is, I think Kenny just made a decision and the performance team made a decision to say, hey, you know what, we can take care of business, you know, be back for next round and be ready to go. And I think that Darius is going to have had over a week now of time to have recuperated on the, they're calling it the great big toe on his left side. And it was off of a closeout. And, you know, he played out the rest of game 2 with it. So I see nothing, you know, kind of affecting him on that end. You know, maybe he's better coming back, you know, defensively and rotations and moving a little better. But I think nothing too crazy to be concerned about.
Kyle Anderson deemed him as the team being better without Darius Garland. They obviously played well. The results were there. Do you feel like there's anything where if Darius isn't here, that the Cavs almost look better against Indiana or have the same level of chance? Or is Darius going to be massively impactful in this series?
I think Darius is going to be massively impactful in this series, just as he's been all year long. I think what people don't really appreciate about DG is just how well he's taken care of the basketball this year and how he's making decisions really quickly, and he's not overthinking. He's not dribbling into trouble. And I think that's the biggest area of growth for Darius. And it's really come at his teammates' benefit too. Like, you know, finding different guys on spray outs and drives to the rim. You obviously know the pick and roll stuff with Jared Allen, but ultimately, too, he's been getting off ball, and he's been a catch shooter, and he's been a pull-up shooter, and he's utilizing all areas of his game to where he's really dangerous when he gets going. And, you know, it's easy to gloss over. Like, you look at Ty Jerome having an amazing game, his first game in game 1, in his first playoff game, but Darius Garland was a part of that. Like, Darius Garland was on the floor with him, and he's also somebody that scored damn near 30 as well. So I don't like, you know, when people in this town and all national scale or whatever like that try to pit them against each other, because it's a well-oiled machine. And, yeah, it's great when they win, you know, without each other sometimes, because they're so deep and they're so, you know, understanding of the goal. But I feel like there's no reason to look at Darius as a, you know, a weak link or anything like that. I think that's preposterous, to be quite honest with you.
Spencer, we're up against it, but I'll ask you real quick before we get out of here. Your prediction for a Cavs-Pacers playoff series starting on Sunday?
Yeah, I got Cavs in 6 in this one. I think the Pacers will get you know, their stuff at home. They are very capable. I wouldn't look at any of the games from this regular season really to see too many things that you can pick out on film, especially the last two, because they occurred in the last week of the season. So you'd have to go all the way back to January when they played. And I think, I want to say it was an in-season tournament game. I can't remember. But Cavs lost in Cleveland, and then they won in Indiana a couple of days later. So that was obviously a different time. And I think that it's going to be a good up-and-down affair. But it's also ultimately, I just think the Cavs are just better. And the Pacers have a lot of people that are really talented, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
No doubt, Spencer. It never feels like we have enough time whenever you come on. So much to get to. You give such great answers. I appreciate you as always hopping on, setting aside the time, man.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yep, no problem, Jake.
All right, that was Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he has to say as well. The Pacers have a chance to upset the Cavs. That's coming up in 5 minutes. Let's get to an Andrew Hody 2020. What to expect from the Pacers. And one of the things I thought was really interesting, because it was a question that was in my mind just based off the way you played Miami and played Boston. I explained it, the question. Is sort of how, when you look at the way they played Miami, it was clearly a takeaway Tyler Hero type of defensive mindset. Don't let Tyler Hero get going. Force everybody else to beat you. But when you played Boston, it was a lot of the opposite the last two games of the year, where you sort of took more of a look at a Jason Tatum, a Jaylen Brown, and said, okay, you guys go score. Have fun. Now everybody else, you're going to have to be the ones to fight through this sort of difficult matchups and go get something done. And that's where it changed, right? And where do you go with Indiana? And I asked Spencer that, and he threw out the idea that you basically think you play Indiana the way that you play Boston. Okay, Tyrese Haliburton, and go have fun. You go score. If we lock up, you know, Nembhard, Nesmith, Miles Turner, Siakam, if those guys don't get going, then we're okay living with Tyrese Halliburton, you know, shooting certain shots, giving up things to him, and sort of letting him score, which is honestly the way that when I was thinking in my head too, it made a lot of sense. Me and Spencer are on the same page, just because the type of distributor that Tyrese Halliburton is, he really does benefit from getting everybody else involved. I mean, I think he was averaging double-digit assists against the Bucks in the five games that they played. It's like he clearly, his game is not just go score, despite maybe what the last couple minutes of the regulation and into overtime might tell you, putting the ball into his hands and asking him to be the clutch player. But I think that his game truly does benefit a ton off of going and actually having the ability to kick out, because then you have to stick on the other players, and then that's where it gets dangerous. You get caught on an in-between between Halliburton going to the basket and being able to score, or sort of, you know, having to focus on everybody else and his ability to pass, while then he gets into a rhythm and he gets comfortable and is able to shoot. But I think that overall, you more look at what is for, I think, going up against that team and being able to see, okay, if you give Tyrese his and get everybody else not going, well, then Tyrese is going to be the one that is, sure, putting up the points, but not being the one that you're really that scared of. You're just expecting him to go out and score, and everybody else is sort of more of the issue. Now, I also think that sort of as you're looking at it and looking at this series as a whole, and what I want to ask you real quick at 216-474-0092, sort of what you're going and looking at, and what does the series look like to you? Do the Pacers actually have a chance to upset the Cavs? Is that something that you're looking at and considering as something that could really happen? Do they really have a shot? Now, I think that ultimately the Cavs are so much better just from a lineup standpoint that you go and look at it and are ultimately looking at this and saying, no, the Pacers really don't have a great shot. Right, Tyrese Halliburton's going to be good. Pascal Siakam's going to be good. And you're going to have games where Miles Turner looks really nice. And they have a deep roster. But ultimately, there's just no way the Cavs should lose this. I truthfully don't see a scenario, the way that the Cavs played in that first round matchup, of coming back to haunt you and actually seeing something change. And something not going your way and having the Pacers start to spark you. I really don't see a scenario where that plays out. I just think ultimately that the Pacers are a team that are going to give you troubles. I don't think that you're going to walk away with the sweep. I think there's going to be a couple of games where the Pacers get hot, but ultimately it comes down to trying to outlast sort of the runs that they go on, and the Cavs are just too good of a team to not be able to do that. Right, and you should have Darius Garland back from what it seems like, from at least the insight that Spencer had gathered, that he should be back, and they were basically playing that one a little bit cautious, not having to put Darius in against Miami, and you sort of play the as fair as you can get it, oh, you're going to beat you anyway, we'll just keep playing him. I think is the mentality they basically carried throughout that process. So I think as you go through and look at this series, yes, Indiana's going to take a game. They might take two. I doubt this series gets pushed to seven, and I think there's almost no chance that you get to the end of this series and are looking at you just being stunned and seeing that Indiana is going to be the team that sort of explodes and goes forward and is able to win. I think the Cavs, again, when Donovan Mitchell takes over, his ability to do it in the fourth quarter, and you just look at from top to bottom, the comparison of the starting lineups and even the comparison of the bench, I just struggle to see where the Cavs truly would be outmatched. They've been too good in actually shooting the ball. They've been too good in putting together cases where they just don't let teams get on huge runs. They've been Cavalanche heavy throughout this entire first round. And it's a different team with a better defensive mentality. But it's, again, sort of the way we've been looking at it for 6 months. It's just not Boston. It really just isn't. 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in there. But we're going to react to the Guardians having just wrapped up. Emmanuel Clase locking in the save. Taking down the Twins tonight, 4-2. We'll get to 3-and-out coming your way in 5 minutes. It's overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. That simple sight is not one of them. Although, there are ones that are coming closer and closer to getting me to do that. But not right now. We're going to go out to the phones at 216-474-0092. Let's get to LaVon's in Cleveland. What's going on, LaVon?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man? What do you got?
I think the Cavs are going to have to change their game up against Indiana because it's going to be a little tougher. So I think they should let Mobley and Garland and Mitchell bring the ball up as far as changing it up, get ready for Boston, give them a different look. Because I think Mobley, he has the skills to dribble the ball up and dish out the ball like Denver did with their big man. And also, got to get them over the boat when they play Boston. So they need to practice on that, having Mobley playing the ball up and shooting and dishing the ball out so they can get prepared for Boston. As far as the Browns, I don't mind them taking Sanders, but they should have got that Ohio State quarterback, too, instead of that other quarterback that I don't know nothing about. All right, go Browns, go Cavs.
I appreciate the call, LaVon. He channeled his best Austin Carr impression there. I agree. Go Cavs. I'm not even going to comment on the Will Howard thing. I'm just going to let that one fly because I would have preferred Will Howard over Dylan Gabriel too, but that's just me. I don't know that you're in a place of luxury right now to be able to sort of like Indiana, I think you can take care of. I don't know that you can just try things out. Like Miami was a series where if you still wanted to mess around, tweak, see what you had to work with, you could almost try a couple of things out just because you were up so dominantly for a large portion of those last two games. Indiana's a team that you have to take seriously, though. So, like, I don't think that necessarily Evan taking the ball up a few times here and there is a downside of like something that you just can't have happen. But I also don't think it's something you can force. Like, oh, okay, we're just going to have Evan bring it up because we need to see that against Boston. I think that that's what the regular season was for. You can't push that into now. And I think this is a lot less about let's get ready for Boston and a lot more about let's take care of Indiana. As much as I think that the Cavs are just too good to lose to an Indiana team, I definitely think they're a formidable opponent. You can't just look over them and walk right past them and expect to just strut on by. It's a team who's going to give you a little bit of trouble. So you have to be cautious with Indiana, too. You don't want to just give away a game.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
By doing something that doesn't need to be done. All right, let's leave the Cavs there. Guardians winners tonight by a final score of 4-2. Let's break down the game the only way we know how with 3 and out.
Post-game reaction on The Fan starts now. It's time for 3 and Out. Overtime with Jake Vulnick, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
All right, kicking things off with first down, our very first takeaway from the game. Hey, this is just the Luis Ortiz roller coaster, and we're just along for the ride through the peaks and the valleys. It's all that you can sit back and do, because that man goes through as many ups and as many downs as you could imagine. Obviously, his last time out against New York about a week ago, you know, it could have gone better against the Yanks. He doesn't go through five innings. He gives up four runs. He throws 104 pitches in 4 1/3. Like, yeah, not great. You come away from that being like, well, it certainly could have been worse, but would have loved if it was a whole lot better. And then tonight, he's just absolutely locked down, where he goes 6 1/3, and doesn't give up a single run. Gives up 3 hits, strikes out 5, looks really strong throughout. Doesn't end up getting the win because Hunter Gaddis gave up a solo shot, but he did sort of pitch to the best of his ability. Like, that is the definition, these last two games of the Luis Ortiz roller coaster. You're going to look at him, he's going to play games where you just go, ah. And that guy is just not getting done what needs to be done. And then there's other times where you look at him and go, yeah, no, he's playing way above expectation. And I think that those are going to continue to happen. A lot of the times with a guy like Bibee, you see him start to sort of settle in. I think with Ortiz, there's not going to be that sense of settle in. You can hope that it's going to find its place and that he gets to more of pitching like this. But I think if you're going to expect, if you're going to put expectations sort of on what this season's going to look like with him, it's going to be a lot more sort of touch and go. Right? You're going to have your bad days, you're going to have your good days. And that's sort of good enough for your third pitcher. He's better than where the Guardians were last year heading into the playoffs at this spot. And I think you just take that one and accept it for what it is. All right, with that, let's get to second down. The Twins are officially one of those teams that you need to sort of beat up on in the AL Central. I think we all sort of knew coming into this season that it was time to stop believing in the Twins, right? And it has shifted way more to the side of, well, what are the Tigers doing? What are the Royals doing? The Guardians? And then the White Sox and the Twins are sort of the bottom feeders. But watching a game like tonight, where they just could not hit the baseball, and the Guardians had their own struggles too. We'll just leave that for where it is right now. Not something we need to discuss on a day-to-day. We all know how I feel about that one. Probably need to find a way to get more power in the lineup and actually figure out the hitting. But when it comes to the Twins, it just feels like that team cannot produce runs. And then you look at the pitching staff and you're like, well, this isn't great either. Joe Ryan's pretty good, and the rest of this pitching staff, not that great. Chris Paddock, despite you only winning 2-1 yesterday, has been absolutely atrocious all season long. Bailey Ober hasn't been great all season long. I think this is just one of those teams that when you look back, you need to minimize the amount of games you lose. And that's obviously sort of a no-duh statement. You look at it and you go, well, of course you need to win. Of course you need to win the games in the division. But I can, you know, sort of fathom with you splitting with Detroit a clean 500. I can fathom with you splitting close to a 500 with a team like Kansas City. I think the Twins are one of those ones where you need to take the season series and take it pretty handedly to feel good about your chances in the AL Central. They've done a pretty good job overall, the Guardians have, with dominating the AL Central and making sure that it is more so of theirs division to lose. But they're going to have to keep that up and keep the pressure on with the Twins and be able to keep that going. All right, with that, let's get to third down. Sort of a two-parter here for third down. Sort of a who's in, who's out. My who's in, Bo Naylor. Back-to-back nights with the homer. The average still isn't there, but you're starting to see some increases, and you're starting to see him get hot a little bit here. Since the series in Pittsburgh, he started to put it on where he's had a hit, he went a long stretch without, and now back-to-back games at the homer. Hey, this is the type of consistency you need, though. Not a homer every single game, but you need Bo to start putting together at-bats. And if he's going to struggle with the average numbers, the least thing you got to do is start putting the ball over the wall. Like, when you do make contact, you have to make it worth your while, and you have to be able to push it for a homer. Now, I'm still holding Bo to a little bit of a higher standard. As good as he's been defensively, I do want to see him pick it up offensively. I just don't know if really everything we've seen out of him so far has lived up to the anywhere near the hype. Like, the defense is good, but offensively, the 185 was nowhere near the 300s he was hitting AAA. He was stealing 20 bases, hitting 20 homers. He was a guy that was really doing it all. And when you called him up and had the excitement, the defense vastly improved, but the offense lacked behind. And I can't sit around and wait forever for my catcher to start producing, at least in a acceptable way offensively, and get towards sort of the 200s. If you're going to start putting the ball over the wall, I think that's where you start to get at least a little bit of a pass for having a lower average. But you still need to boost it up. You still need to put more runs on the board. And you need to find your base on, or find yourself on base more often. But I'll take 1-for-3 with a 3-run shot anytime you give it to me, no doubt. Tonight is not a complaint. Tonight is a pickup. Back-to-back nights of the homer for Bo Naylor. I'm hoping transitions to right where he needs to be. On the flip side of that, the who's out, that's got to be Brian Rocchio right now. We're now back-to-back games with Rocchio where he finds himself on the bench and not in the everyday starter at shortstop role, and they're going elsewhere in the position. And I think it's very clear and obvious as to why. And it should be very clear and obvious as to why. You just need Brian to show a little bit more of what he showed throughout the postseason last year than what he showed in the regular season last year and thus far this year. He's just not been a guy that can be relied on with the bat at all. And I think that part of my problem with hitting really does stem from a guy like Rocchio right now, where I can't just sit around and wait for you to sort of work through the struggles. I need to get guys up here who are going to hit the baseball. And if that takes trying out 9 different quad A players, well, there's no real difference because Brian Rocchio right now outside of his postseason performance, was a quad A player. He's hitting a 205 on the dot, and that's just not going to be good enough. Like, that's what we battled through all of last year, saying, well, at least the defense is there, and he's putting together good at-bats. Well, at some point, the good at-bats have to turn into average, and you have to actually start to perform. Rocchio has yet to put that together, and we're about to enter the month of May. And if it was just the month of April, yeah, he gets the pass, but when it's the month of April and the entirety of last year, you're sort of running out of time to show me that you have anything. There might be a time here to turn it over and go, ah, yes, Juan Brito, let's try you out over here. You've already done that with Angel Martinez. You've already thrown him in center field as he continues to dominate, hitting .333 after tonight. I think that Rocchio's almost knocking on the door of what's next. I think the Guardians give him a little bit more time, but clearly not in the lineup on back-to-back days is a little bit of an indicator. All right, with that, let's get to punting the football. Coming up next for the Guardians, they will be in action once again tomorrow, and it's with those same pesky Twins. They're leading this four-game series 2-1, but you close it out tomorrow in a hopeful win. Guardians up to 17-13 after today as the Twins fall to 13-18, and your next matchup coming up here tomorrow at 1:10. In what should be, I think, again, any time that you're playing, and maybe your division games play a little bit, I don't know if we consider it less impact just because you play less of them, or more impact because those are the ones that you have to win, your only chances to sort of jump. But yeah, it's a different sort of style of season that we've been working with now for 2 years. But I think this is a key one. You want to win series against the teams in your division, and this is your opportunity to take it and take it 3-1. Ben Lively going to be on the bump, and on the other side, it's going to be Simeon Woods-Richardson. I think Lively's an interesting guy to look at. Clearly, he's had his ups and downs the way that a lot of the pitching staff has, but you're looking at Lively right now coming off of a 5-inning, 4-run outing where he walked 3 batters in the last one. So sort of looking to get a bounce back here against Minnesota tomorrow. And I imagine on a getaway day, a 1:10 game, probably going to have a pretty decent shot to do it. He's battling for starting pitcher number 3 right now with Luis Ortiz. And you saw what he did. Now it's time for Ben Lively to sort of take over the reins and try to follow up what Luis Ortiz did. I just think the Twins are a team that you have a perfect opportunity to do so on the lineup. All right. If you guys want to jump in on the Guardians, 216-474-0092. On X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. But here at 9 o'clock, as we always do, we're going to get a grip. It's overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys right here on The Fan.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.